Amen. Thank you, Pearson Quartet. That was a blessing. Enjoyed that. Well, when the Koreas are not in Ireland, they're here, and it's always a blessing to have them here. And when they had visa issues that brought them back this time, I knew that immediately that I wanted to have Brother Korea speak at the missions conference. And the blessing of the Koreas, they're just a great family, but also the fact that they were saved here in this church, that's amazing. And God saved them and called them to Ireland, and you keep praying for them. They're trying to get back there. And as long as the government, it's getting tougher and tougher everywhere. But we appreciate the Koreas, and Brother Elias is a friend, and he's a blessing. And so he's going to come and preach to us. Brother Korea, you come.
Amen. Glad to be here today, this morning. Glad to see everyone out here today as well. And I'm looking forward to a wonderful conference. I love missions conference. Amen. And it is has been the highlight at Berean ever since I've been coming here, ever since I've been saved. I know it's hard to believe, it's been 20 years of missions conferences. We haven't been here for most of them because we've been on either in Bible college or we were on the road in deputation or on the mission field. And so But I think we've been able to be here for five or six of them, and it's always the highlight of the year. And so I'm looking forward to this week, and you missionaries are going to have a wonderful time that are here, and it's going to be an exciting week together here. And so I want to just kind of give a little update. If somebody maybe perhaps was not here on the Wednesday night that we were here when we returned several weeks ago. The government is giving us trouble, of course, being able to get our approvals to be back in Ireland, but we're not giving up on that. Actually, I talked with our mission agency just after we got back, within a week or so, and just kind of brought them up to speed on everything that's going on with our family and with the approvals and all that kind of thing with immigration. And so we've kind of are on the same page with it, of course, and we're going to be taking our trips over to Ireland as often as we can, and we're going to be spending as much time over there as we can, as much as we can afford, actually, and we're going to stay over and try to do the work there. We're going to be working with local missionaries that are there already, and we know all of them that are on the field there, and being able to help them. We're already scheduled to be able to fill in for the missionary that we helped this past summer. We were there all summer, and we're going to be back next summer there filling in with that missionary, Lionel Smith, as he takes his furlough. And so we're looking forward to that, and just looking forward to, of course, being able to be there a few times before that as well. And so, as Pastor mentioned, please pray for us. Don't forget about praying for us. You see us often, and I know sometimes you can just kind of get used to seeing us around, but our goal, of course, is to be able to be away as much as possible. Not that we're trying to get away from you at all, but just that's our goal, and that's where our heart is. We want to be able to be there and serving there on the mission field. If you weren't here for Sunday school, boy, you missed a great video that Brother Cook put together. Wasn't that a great video? Amen. And I loved that. That was great. And I like seeing me in there with a little more hair. Amen. And some of those pictures. And so it was exciting, though. Exciting to look back on those years. And some of those pictures I've never seen before, and so it was a good thing to see. And as Pastor mentioned, you can get a copy of that video from Brother Cook, and so that would be a good thing to be able to get this week as well. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Down, but I'm going to stay right here behind the pulpit, so I don't have the lapel mic. But this chapter, of course, Hebrews chapter number 11, talks about faith. And boy, at a Faith Promise Missions Conference, faith is important. Amen. And faith is important in our lives just as Christians. But I want to talk a little bit about faith this morning. Before the Sunday school hour, we had an opportunity just to be able to share a testimony about how God's worked in your life, especially in the area of faith promise missions, and I was able to give a little testimony. But let me just encourage you to think about that over the years. Think about how God's provided for you
over the years, not only in Faith Promise Missions, but just in general, in life, how God's been good to you. And God's been good to us, amen? And I know the country is in a mess right now. I know there's a shutdown going on. I know that the economy's been in trouble the past several years, but even though we're going through all that, God is still good to us, amen? And we have challenges, you have challenges, we all face different things, but through it all, God's been good to us and has actually brought us closer to God. We're trusting God more, and we're finding our relationship is more in tune with God through all these different things. And so just something to think about throughout the week as we go through our Faith Promise week, our missions conference. And I know Pastor's going to have you praying throughout the week about what God would have for you to do in this area of giving to missions over the next 12 months. And as you do that, as you pray about what would God have for you to do over the next 12 months, think about the last 12 months of how God's taking care of you. And think about the last 10 years, 20 years, and so on. As long as you've been a Christian, God has been taking care of all of us. I want to read to you, read to you the first several verses here in chapter, did I tell you Hebrews chapter 11? I meant Hebrews chapter number 1. You're right. Stay there. I'm wrong. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start reading to you in verse number 1, and we're going to read several verses, and then we're going to get into the message this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God hath translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want to bring your attention to that last verse we read there, verse number 6. We'll read it again here. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, I began thinking about my life and thinking about the faith that we have, of course, in the Lord. Of course, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that, of course, we're trusting Jesus for our home in heaven, and so that we don't have to go to hell, and Jesus Christ paid the penalty for us and all that. And, of course, that's the most important thing you can put your faith into, is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we put our faith into all kinds of things every day. Every day we wake up, we put our faith in all kinds of things. But I began thinking about, boy, what if we had a life without faith, as it talks about here in verse number 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." And I began thinking about that, a life without faith. So I've entitled my message this morning, "With or Without Faith." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless now this morning as we get into this message. I pray that you would use me in a great way to be able to speak to hearts here. And God, this matter of faith is such an important thing. This matter of faith is a pivotal point in the Christian life. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your goodness to us over the years. Thank you so much for your blessings. And God, I just pray now you would bless as we get into this message, as we meet around your word this morning. Please use me to be a help to those who are here today. Teach me some things today that I can learn, that I have learned as I prepared this message, but teach me more things that I can implement in the Christian life so I can please you, God, with a life of faith. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to mention, our family appreciates Berean Baptist Church, our home church, for all the faith you've had in us over the years. Our family just wants to say we love you very much, and I say that often to you because we really mean it. We love you. We thank you so much for your giving,
for your prayers, for your giving financially, for your help, and for your belief and your faith in our family. It's been a rocky road sometimes. Sometimes it's been a smooth road, but that's the thing about family is you stick together no matter what. Amen? And we feel your love when we're here, and we appreciate you asking about how things are going. And how. And several of you over the last 10 days or so have asked me how my wife is doing, and she's not been doing good with her health. She's here today. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm excited that she's here, but she's dealing with some things, and we don't know what they are. We're still going back and forth to the doctors and things, and we appreciate your prayers, and we need your prayers. And so we just want to say we love you, and we appreciate everything you've done for us over the years. Now, let's look at that verse one more time, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And keep your Bibles open, by the way, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We live in a world of faith. I mean, we use faith all the time, each and every day. You know, when you woke up this morning, you went to take a shower, and you turn on the water, and hot water was there. Amen? How many of you had hot water this morning in the shower? Okay, good. How many have ever gone to the shower before and the water didn't work? That's happened to me before as well. But you woke up this morning, and you had hot water. But we take that for granted. We take it for granted that it's going to be there every morning, but we have faith that when we turn on that lever, it's going to come out the hot water. We have faith every morning when you got up this morning, you came to church, you got in your car, and you stuck the key in there, and you turned it, and it started up. And you know what? We have faith in all kinds of areas. When you post a letter to someone across the country, you have faith. When you stick in that box, it's going to arrive at the destination. This past week, we had a letter to send out, and we were out driving around in town, and we had the letter there above the visor there, the sun visor, and we were in the Kmart parking lot, and my wife said, we forgot to mail this letter, and we said, well, we'll just stick it in our mailbox at home, but there was a mailbox right there in the parking lot there of the Kmart, and I said, let's just stick it in there, and my wife was a little bit apprehensive. She was a little bit worried that, well, what if something happens in it, you know, this or that? And I said, it's going to get there. Don't worry. It'll make it to where it needs to be. You know, they empty these out every day. I imagine they do. I've never seen them empty them out, but I guess they do. They're not overflowing. Amen. But it'll make it to its destination. But you know, I don't know how that works. I don't know how the postal service works and how they get a letter from there and it goes to the next step and the next step and the next step. I know you can trace it with a tracking number and all that, but I don't know how it works. I don't know how all the intricacies of it or things like that. Some of you may know. I don't know. I don't know how a car works where you stick a key in it and you turn it and it comes on. I have no idea how that works. But you know what? I have faith when I stick my key in, it'll start. I don't know how the shower works. I don't know how the hot water. I mean, I have an idea. I have the simple basic things in my mind about how those things work, but I don't really know exactly how everything works. You know, when you woke up this morning, you opened the refrigerator, there was some food in there for you. You opened up the cupboards, there was some food in there. You put something in there, you wanted to get it this morning, and it was there this morning when you reached out, when you opened the fridge to get it. And, well, that, I guess it depends on how many teenagers you have in your house, amen? And it may not be there. But you got up in the morning, and you turn on the light switch, and the lights came on. You know, I don't understand how all those things work, and there's dozens and dozens and hundreds of things we can talk about this morning, but by faith, we believe that they're going to work. By faith, we believe that they are going to be there for us. But can you imagine a world without faith? Can you imagine a world where, that we just didn't have faith? But what would we have instead of faith? We would have a world of worry. We would have a world of constant worry that when you wake up, boy, is the shower going to work? Is the car going to start? Is the water going to work in the shower? Is the lights going to come on? Or all these different things. And we'll just be worried to death. We'll be pulling our hair out. Worried about everything in the world because we are living in a world without faith. But praise the Lord, we don't live in a world without faith. Amen? But if we did live in a world without faith, we'd have constant worry. We would have constant disappointment. Boy, people would let you down all the time. Boy, you know, we put our faith in people. We put our faith in God. We put our faith in the church. We put our faith in all kinds of things, in family and loved ones and all kinds of things. But what if we didn't have faith? We'd be filled with disappointments each day. We would be filled with, the world would be a sad world to live in. We would have a world where we couldn't believe in anything except for disappointment. Disappointment would be there every day. And that's the only faith we would have in a world without faith. It would be a world where everything would let you down. Boy, wouldn't that be a sad world where everything would let you down? Boy, you wouldn't get, not even get anything done if everything in the world let you down. It'd be a world where everyone that you know and every place, everyone you ran into, they would let you down. Wouldn't that be a sad world to live in? I wouldn't want to live in a place like that where everything's falling apart. Boy, when I come to church on Sunday, I just have faith that that pastor's going to be here. Amen? And you know, when I get here and pastor may not be here, I know he's not been here the last few weeks and over the last month or so for different things and different reasons. But you know, when I come to church and I see pastor's car there, boy, it just makes me feel better knowing that pastor's here. Amen? And when I get here and I walk into our Sunday school class and I see Brother Cook there, and it just makes me feel good that to know that he's there, because you know what, I have faith when I get to church, pastor's going to be there. When I get to church, I have faith that Brother Cook is going to be there. And when I get to Sunday school, I have faith that there's going to be food there. Amen. And I didn't know this morning that we were all going to meet this morning up here. And so when I got here this morning and I said, Brother Cook, I said, we're meeting downstairs, right? I mean, because I had hopes, you know, because I didn't have any breakfast. Amen. And he always provides breakfast for us. And so, but you know, that's how we live, though. Every day we wake up, we have faith that things are going to be in their place. People are going to be in their place. But boy, without faith, we couldn't please God. In this verse that we just read right here, verse number 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Boy, how sad would that be, that we couldn't even please God without faith? And without faith, you'd be full of disappointments. Without faith, we'd be destined to fail. I mean, every day would be a failure. You never get anything done. You never be able to accomplish anything. Without faith, you'd have no hope. And you know, that's something that we've always had as human beings, as people, as Christians. We've always had hope. I mean, no matter how bad things can get, we can always hope. Amen. And you know, I think about, I was just trying to think to myself over this past week as I was preparing this message about the things that are the nearest and dearest to my heart. And if I was to have to pick one thing that was, of course, not counting my salvation would be number one on the list. But if I was to pick the nearest and dearest things to my heart after my salvation, my number one thing will be my marriage to my wife. And I think to myself, that's the nearest and dearest thing to me. And you know, my wife and I got married. We of course we wanted to succeed, but you know, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantee that it's going to work out. It's going to be perfect. Everything's going to go right. It's a rocky road. It's a learning experience. When you know, I've never been married before until I got married to my wife, and I didn't have no idea how it was going to work out. But I had faith that it was going to work out. And my wife and I said, you know, when we get married, there are two words we're not going to talk about in our house. We're not going to talk about, number one, divorce. And we're not going to talk about compromise. And we cut those two words out of our vocabulary when we got married, because we said, you know what, that's never going to be an option. That's never going to happen. That's never going to be something that we're going to turn to as an option. And that, but we have faith. We have faith that we believe that our marriage is going to turn out and it's going to be a good marriage and a successful marriage. And I hold that dear to my heart. Number two, the second thing will be my children. My children I hold near and dear to my heart. Number one, my salvation. Number two, my wife. And number three, my children. And I think to myself, you know what? I have no guarantee. All I can do is do what I can do and train my children up in the way they should go and hope and have faith that they won't depart from it. That's all I can do. That's everything I can do. And I have no guarantees, but all I have is faith. That's all I have. I have a hope and I have a belief and I have a faith that my kids will turn out right, and I'll do all I can to be able to add to that recipe. You know, Dr. Hiles, when I was in Bible college, my wife and I there for several years, but as we were there, I remember hearing Dr. Hiles say more than once, he said, if every child had someone who really believed in them, they knew that somebody really believed in them, they would never fail. They would not fail. They would succeed. If every child had someone that believed in them, they would make it. If they knew that someone believed in them and someone had faith in them, it's when somebody says, you're never going to make it.
You're nobody. You're a bus kid. You're not going to go anywhere with your life. You're not going to ever succeed. When people do that, boy, you know what people start believing? They start believing that it can't be done. They start believing that there's no way we're going to be able to make it anywhere. You know, I'm so glad when I came here to Berean, there were people that loved us. There are people that cared about us, even though we had a bad background and a bad history, and we came up from a rough group and that kind of thing, we didn't grow up in church, we didn't grow up in Sunday school, we didn't grow up knowing the Sunday school songs and Bible verses and VBS and all those kinds of things. We didn't grow up with that, but you know what? We came in, we were a rough group, like Pastor and Mrs. Rogers. When they came to church, they were a rough group, and we've heard they were a rough couple. And we've heard Pastor give testimony of that many times. But you know what? Praise God that someone loved them. And praise God that someone loved us and believed in us when we arrived here at Berean. And they encouraged us and they were there for us. But you know, I thank God that someone had faith in us. And you know, I think about these missionaries who are here today, and some of them are on the field, and some of them are on deputation, they're getting ready to go to the field. You know, we need to have faith in what they're doing on the mission field, or what they're going to do on the mission field. We need to believe that God's going to bless, and God's going to just do something great, and God's going to do something wonderful, and we have no idea what's going to happen, but we need to have faith. We need to get behind them, we need to encourage them, we need to lift them up, we need to let them know that we love them, we pray for them, and show that we have faith in them and what they're doing. Faith is what pulls us up when we're down. Faith is what we cling to when there isn't anything else that we can reach out and grab to. But we don't live in a perfect world right now, but we do have faith. Praise God that we have faith. Faith is hope. Faith is believing. Faith is confidence in the unknown of what's going to happen in the future. But it's having faith that God is going to do something great, and God's going to continue, not going to leave us, just leave us alone. Oh, well, you're saved. Okay, you're saved, and you're on the way to heaven. Okay, we'll see you when you get there, and just leave us. No, God's not going to do that. He's going to continue working on us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, or God's going to continue working on you either until you get to heaven or until Jesus comes and takes us with him to heaven in the rapture. What an exciting thing. Faith is an exciting thing. Belief and hope is an exciting thing. But boy, without faith, it'd be a sad world. Without faith, it would be a sad place to live. I want to share a quick story with you. Something I read not long ago or heard not long ago. There was a lady by the name of Frances. She was not married, and she had no children, was not married. But she had a sister who was married and had children, and two nieces that she had there. And they were about 7, 8 years old. And Frances would go over and visit her sister and spend time with her nieces there and loved her nieces very much and took care of them. One night, Frances stayed the night. Aunt Frances stayed the night. And the little girls wanted her to read them a bedtime story when it came time to go to bed. And so Aunt Frances went upstairs and went to the girls' room and started reading them a story. And the girls wanted her to read the story about the circus, the elephants at the circus, and their favorite book that they had. And so Aunt Frances sat down there on the bed, and the girls got around her, and she read through that book about the circus. And she read about the big top tent at the circus, and the lions and the tigers there, and I know you want me to say the and the bears, oh my, and the elephants that are there, and the ringmaster and the horses and all the things that the book was about the circus. And boy, Aunt Frances loved the elephants, especially at the circus, and the little girls, they loved the elephants, loved seeing the pictures and reading about the elephants there in the book. And finally, the little girls went to bed, and the night was over. And a few days later, Aunt Frances went to get her newspaper. She got her newspaper from the mailbox and opened it up, and there it was right on the front page. The circus was coming to town. And boy, Aunt Frances was like, wow, look at that. We just read about that in that book, and now the circus is coming to town. And she went over and talked to the nieces and talked to her sister, and the nieces found out already about it, and they said, boy, Aunt Frances, the circus is coming to town. Boy, we'd love to go to the circus. And Aunt Frances said, okay, I'll take you. And finally the day came towards the weekend there, and they went to the circus, and they had a great, wonderful wonderful time. And Aunt Frances and the two nieces, and they went up into the stands, and they had their popcorn, and they had their drinks, and they had their cotton candy and their peanuts and all the different things that you have there. And they were watching all the circus go on. They were watching the balancing acts and the jugglers and the lions and the ringmaster and all these different things going on at the circus. And they just were enjoying it so much. And then, of course, the elephants were there. And what a wonderful time they had. Well, the circus came to an end. And the ringmaster was thanking everybody for coming. And he said real quick, he said, if you are interested in seeing the elephants up close, you can come back. And behind the tent, we're going to be giving elephant rides for you children if you'd like to do that. And boy, the nieces just lit up. They were so excited. Boy, I want to ride the elephants. And they begged Aunt Frances to take them to the back to show them the elephants, to get close up there to them and be able to ride them. Well, Aunt Frances couldn't say no. And so all the people had filed out of there and people started lining up in the back, they were getting ready to ride the elephant. They paid their fee, to be able to ride the elephants, and they were getting ready to do that. Well, one of the little girls looked over and saw an elephant over on her left-hand side. It was a big elephant, big and massive and strong and just huge animal, huge creature. And they saw that elephant there tied up with just a small little rope and a little wooden stake in the ground. And the little girl said to Aunt Frances, "Aunt Frances, how come that elephant doesn't just pull that out and just pull his leg and pull that rope out easily, break the rope, maybe pull the wooden stake out of the ground and just walk off? Why does he just stay there?" And Aunt Frances didn't know, so she asked the ringmaster, was right there, and he says, "Oh, that's a very interesting thing." He goes, "I'll tell you why that elephant doesn't try to pull away with that little rope." He said that elephant could easily break that rope. That rope was very, very weak compared to the strength of that elephant, that massive creature. And that wooden stake's only about a foot into the ground. It just was put there just a few moments ago. And that elephant can easily get away if it wanted to. He said, but the truth is, that elephant doesn't believe it can get away. He said, but see, when that elephant was just a small little baby elephant, like the ones over there, the little elephants, when that elephant was just a little baby, we put a really strong rope around that elephant's leg, that elephant's foot, ankle, a really strong rope, and we tied that rope to a metal a post going into the ground. At the bottom of that metal post was a wooden, was a cement pillar. Nothing was going to get away from that metal post if it was tied to it. And so we tied that rope to that baby elephant and tied it to that metal post. And that little baby elephant went crazy for a couple days. It was screaming. It would rear up his head and his trunk, and it would yell and it would scream. It would try to get away. It'd pull and pull and pull with all its might as a baby elephant could pull. But that baby elephant could not get away. And it pulled so hard sometimes, they thought that the elephant's foot was going to just come off, was just going to rip off, because it had pulled and pulled and pulled for days and days and days, and could not get away. And eventually that started getting tighter and tighter and tighter around that baby elephant's leg, until finally, after about 3 days, the elephant just quit pulling. After 3 days, the elephant just gave up. And as the elephant grew and got bigger and bigger, we started putting a smaller and smaller rope on that elephant. And now it's a full-grown elephant, very strong, very mature, very bold, and just a huge creature. It could easily pull it away, but it doesn't even try anymore, because it remembers when it was young how it pulled on it and the pain that it received and how he never would get away from that rope, and so it doesn't even try anymore. Well, it was a very sad story for them, and they were kind of sad about that. They rode the elephant, and that day was over. And the next day, Frances woke up. She went to the get her newspaper, and she saw on the front page, "Circus suffers fire, much damage." And the first thing came to Frances's mind was about that elephant. She remembered that elephant was tied down there with a wooden stake and a small rope, and the elephant could easily get away. I wonder if the elephant ever got away. So she got in her car and went down to the circus, and she found the ringmaster, and the firemen were there cleaning up all the mess and all the rubble, and went right over to the ringmaster and said, I'm concerned. I heard about the fire. I'm concerned about the elephant. Did the elephant ever get away?" And the ringmaster said, "You know, something funny happened. The fire started in this tent, and the elephant was right there. The fire continued over this one, and all of a sudden the elephant was surrounded, and the elephant didn't move at all. The elephant didn't even try to get away. Well, it wasn't even attempting to try and pull away. But as the fire got closer and closer and started to surround that elephant more and more, it's like that elephant just started rearing his head up like he did when he was a baby. Started screaming and started yelling like he did when he was a baby. And it's like the elephant thought one time he's going to try to just pull away, to be able to get away, to be able to save his life. And he did it with all his might and pulled it away. And that little rope easily broke. And that elephant ran away into the field and was safe now. And he said, isn't it something how all its life it didn't believe it can get away until something major happens to make that elephant believe once again, to have faith once again that it can get away. And it can have faith. And I think to myself, you know, that's exactly how in a way it is in our lives where, you know, when we first became Christians, when you first got saved, boy, you were excited. You were thrilled. And boy, you would charge hell with a squirt gun. And you would give and you believed God and you believed the preaching and you believed everything that happened. But boy, as time goes on, we start to lull ourselves asleep. We start to believe that maybe it can't happen. You start to have doubt. We start to not believe or have that kind of faith until one day, something happens in our lives, and all of a sudden, we are forced to go to God. You know, I think to myself this day, you know, maybe that's the day we're in right now. We're in a day that the government's shut down. We're in a day right now where the economy is bad. We're in a day right now where we're not sure what's going to happen at the workplace. Are we going to get a pink slip on Monday? We're not sure how things are going to continue on. What's going on with the health care? What's going on with the government? What's going on in Washington? I don't know. But you know what? I know that God is still there. Amen? And I know that we can put our faith in Jesus Christ just like we did the day that we trusted Jesus as our Savior. Boy, we're so excited. We believe that we can do it. But now all of a sudden, it seems like as time goes on, we kind of lull ourselves to sleep, and we start to doubt what God can do. You know, I kind of summarize it all up into this one quick sentence, it's an introduction, but don't worry, I've only got 2 points. Amen. We're going to go through this so fast you won't believe it. No, I wanted to say this, make a statement, and then we'll get into point number one. You can choose to have things shake you up, or you can cling to your faith. You can allow things in this world to shake you up and to make you believe, you know what? You can't do it anymore. You can't give 10% anymore. You can't keep giving the faith promise. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't keep doing that. Because, you know, and the world will shake you up and make you thinking that you can't continue on the way you've been going. You can't keep on doing what you've been doing. Or you can cling to your faith. You can cling to your faith and you can cling to it and say, God, I know you're as real as you were when I got saved. You have not changed. I've changed. Your faithfulness has not changed over the years. I have changed, God. And I think we really need to look at ourselves this week and say to ourselves, look in the mirror and say, is my faith as strong as it was the day I got saved? Or have I backed up some? Have I quit believing? Have I quit trusting and honoring God with faith? The Bible says now it is impossible to please God without faith. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 11:1. Just a few verses back there. You should be there already. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This verse here talks about faith. It says faith is the substance, and then later in the verse here it says, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance, and faith is evidence. I've only got 2 points this morning, and then we'll be finished. Number one, faith is substance. Faith is real. Substance is real, amen? And, you know, I remember when I was working in Chicago, I was working at overnight transportation. And boy, it was a physical job. And boy, I worked hard and a lot of physical kind of work, lifting and heavy things. You're moving around and just a job that kept you in shape, actually. But boy, when it was time for me to go to lunch, I didn't want to have just a little bowl of soup and maybe a little piece of bread. I wanted some substance. Amen? And because when you're working hard and you're sweating, boy, you build up an appetite. Amen? And I remember in those days, boy, my wife would send me to work with a plate of food. I mean, and I'm serious. A lot of people would be looking at my food like, whoa, what do you got there? And they'd be interested. And they want to bite. They want to taste. And I'd share some food. Not too much, though. Amen? And I wanted some substance. I wanted something real. A cup of soup wasn't going to cut it for me. Amen. And I wanted something real. And the Bible says that faith is substance. Faith is something that substance is something you can see, you can feel, you can hear, you can touch. And you think to yourself, boy, Brother Korea, I can't see faith. I can't see it. I can't hear it. I can't touch it. But boy, the Bible says faith is substance. And substance is things that are real. And so faith is real. Amen. And if the Bible says it, it's true. Amen. And I want to read to you here. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, where they are already. But look at verse number 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's through faith. We can look around and we can see the world today. And the Bible says, through faith we can believe that the worlds were framed by him, by the word of God. And so we can see it. There's your seeing. There's your sight. Through faith, though, we have to understand that. Look at number 4, verse number 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Look at verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Look at verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned. Once again, Abraham. Look at verse number 11. By faith, Sarah. Verse number 17. Look down there. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Look at verse number 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses again. Verse 27, by faith, once again, Moses, he forsook Egypt. Verse 29, by faith, he passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets and all those things. And we can continue on. We can go through the rest of the chapter. But folks, faith is substance and faith is real. I mean, we read these things in the Bible and I believe they really happened. Amen. I don't believe this is a storybook. I don't believe this is a fairy tale like Aunt Frances was reading. I believe that this is real from cover to cover. Amen. And if we believe that, that is our faith. That's our substance. Our substance is right here. Right here in our hands. We just believe it by faith. Number 2, quickly, let me move on. But before I say it, let me say this. Don't allow this world to destroy your faith. Don't allow this world to come in and to just bombard you from the left, from the right, from the middle, from behind, and just start to bombard you. And all of a sudden, you start to see your faith start to waver. You start to see doubt start to crumble in. But don't allow this world to do that to you. We're not of this world, amen? We're just passing through, amen? And so number 1, faith is substance. Number 2, faith is evidence. Faith is evidence. The Bible says there, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence. Evidence is proof. Evidence is proof. Boy, if you went to a crime scene or if you heard of a police officer, maybe there's a burglary somewhere, and they call 911, and the police came, boy, all of a sudden that's a crime scene, and they have to kind of maybe rope it off, or they have to start taking reports, and taking fingerprints, or trying to get evidence, trying to find things, maybe a motive, or who did this, or why they do this, and they're looking for proof. They're looking for evidence. They're looking for evidence to be able to support what they're trying to do. Just the other day, it was probably 4 days ago or so, right out front of our house, there was an accident, a car accident. The car ran a stop sign, and it hit another car, and the car spun out and went right into our yard, and it tore up the ground there, and the police came, and the fire station there came, and make sure everybody was okay, and they got the cars towed away and everything. Nobody got hurt or anything like that, but But the police came and they started taking pictures of the corner. And actually, a few weeks before, there was somebody out there because there had been a lot of accidents at that corner. And somebody else was out there taking pictures of the corner from different angles. And my wife asked him, she thought they're out there from Google Earth or something taking pictures. And is that what you thought it was? And I thought Google was out there taking pictures. And well, this is Sunday morning, Googleeth, amen. And but it wasn't. They were out there just kind of gathering information, trying to gather data so that they can try to figure out what's going on and why there's so many accidents at this corner. Well, then the police came, and like I said, and they were taking pictures taking pictures of the damage and different things like that. What they were doing was gathering evidence, gathering proof, and faith is evidence. The definition of evident, which is where we get the word evidence, is plain or obvious, clearly seen or understood. Plain or obvious, clearly seen or understood. And you know, I think about when I think about faith, and I think about God, and I think about heaven. Amen. And I like thinking about heaven. Not that I want to go to heaven very soon, and I like to do more work here on earth for the Lord. But when I think about heaven, I think about what the Bible says about heaven. And in 1 Corinthians 2:9, you don't have to turn there. The Bible, you just listen here. The Bible says, "But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Boy, you know, we can't even imagine what God is preparing for us. We can't even imagine it, what God has done for us. Now, pastors mentioned before, he's got a pretty good imagination, amen? And I've got a pretty good imagination too. Boy, I picture what heaven could be like, but I have no idea if that's what it's like, because the Bible says it can't even enter into my heart. Now, it can't even enter into my mind how wonderful it's going to be. Now, pastor says he can imagine his mansion out there and maybe some bushes and things up front, but he can imagine a pond of chocolate up front. Amen? And he can picture himself on a diving board made out of a Hershey bar, and he can picture himself doing a swan dive into the pond. Amen? And boy, that sounds like fun to me, and I might want to come over and visit pastor if he can imagine that and he can get that in heaven. That'd be great. And as long as he's willing to share that. But we can't even imagine it. And I think to myself, you know what? My imagination, just thinking about heaven, that's proof that we're going to have it. Amen? That is our evidence right there that we're gonna, that's going to happen. That's going to be in heaven. I'm not saying whatever you can imagine is going to be in heaven at all, but that's evidence. That's evidence. People of faith are evident. You know, Berean Baptist Church, let me tell you something. Pastors told you before, you know, almost all the missionaries in America know about this church. They know about this church because this church is very evident that they love missionaries. It's very evident that mission conference is an important part of the year. It's not just something, well, I guess it's time to do a missions conference. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. No, it's something that you think about and we plan for all year long. And you have bake sales and you have a car washes and you have all kinds of fundraisers and you have breakfast, right, Mrs. Morin? And you all kinds of things to be able to raise money for missions conference. Boy, it is very evident that Berean Baptist Church are people of faith. But is it obvious that we have much faith? Is it apparent or easy to see or clearly seen or understood that we are not going to allow the world to sidetrack us, but that we're going to continue on this road of faith? We're not going to allow the devil and the world to be able to take us on to the left. No, we want to continue going to the right and continue serving missions and continue doing all we can because we're people of faith. And you know, and God has been so good to us. You know, even though, like I said, we struggle. Even though jobs aren't the same as they used to be years ago, but we're people of faith. And as Pastor mentioned, it's not something you put in the budget. It's something you just believe. You believe God for. And many of you know, as I walk around town and as I'm different places, I'll find a penny on the ground. And when I find a penny on the ground, it's like God telling me he's going to continue to provide. He's going to continue to bless. And it's like he's telling me he loves me when I find a penny on the ground. And when I find him, I pick him up. And I don't walk by him. And I pick him up. And my wife will tell you, my kids will tell you. And Brother Bowman here, he does it too. He picks him up. And when Brother Bowman finds a penny on the ground, he picks it up and he prays for our family. And you know, he told me that one day. That was such an encouragement to me. You know, if you find a penny on the ground, pick it up and pray for our family. That'd be great. And give it in the offering. Amen. Amen? And that'll be a help. Who knows? But, you know, praise God for people of faith. Praise God for this church that are people of faith. But boy, how sad would it be to be without faith? How sad would it be to have a church without faith? Without a missions account, without a missions giving, because we think, oh, you can't do it. Boy, the world has crept into a church like that, amen? But boy, folks, I'm so glad and I'm so thankful that this church continues on, continues going forward, and continues to give towards mission. But boy, a world without faith sounds so sad. What's even more sad than that is a Christian with little faith. A Christian with little faith. Boy, we can trust Jesus Christ with our eternal soul, but we can't trust Him to say, God, give me an amount that I can give to missions. Tell me, impress on my heart an amount that I can give towards mission. Boy, because we're a little nervous. Well, what if God tells me this amount? Oh, well, if that's what God told you, then God will give that to you. He'll provide. Amen. But boy, how sad it is to find Christians with little faith. Can you picture that story I told a little bit ago? That story about the elephant. Can you picture that elephant there's with the fire going on, the fire raging, and the tents on fire, and for that elephant to just stand there and to not even believe he can get away? How sad that would be. How sad it would have been to be able to find out, for Aunt Frances to find out that elephant perished in the fire because it didn't believe anymore. But inside, somewhere deep inside that big elephant was a little elephant. And that little elephant remembered when he was young how he worked hard and he pulled and he fought and he did everything he could to be able to get back, get out, to get loose. And that little elephant came alive once again. Boy, you're here today and you think, boy, my faith hasn't been what it used to be. Boy, let me encourage you to look deep inside again. Reevaluate your Christian life and think to yourself, am I doing what I can for my Heavenly Father? Faith pleases God. But without faith, it would displease Him. You've got to have faith to please God. You know, don't allow this world to anchor you down like that rope did, like that stake did for the elephant. Don't allow the world to anchor down your faith and continue going on and giving to the Heavenly Father and giving to this church. I wanted to share a quick story and I'll be done. When I was younger, I grew up right here in Adrian. And I grew up on Beecher Street, out there where Beecher turns into Deerfield Highway, Parr Highway, going south right there. And I grew up out there, and we grew up poor. And I remember, though, as a young man, young boy, probably 8, 9 years old, I remember my father, him and I, we didn't spend a lot of time together, but when we did, it was always good quality time. And I remember one of the things he used to like to do, he used to like to go outside and look up in the stars. And he liked to look up there, and he'd spot the North Star, and he knew things in the stars and things like that. And it was always a neat thing, and he kind of passed that on to me a little bit. And I remember many times my father and I, we would sit on the hood of the car, and we'd lean against the windshield and just kind of put our hands behind our head like that and just look up into the stars on a clear night. And we'd enjoy that. We would look up, and he'd point out that star, and it just was a wonderful, wonderful memory, I guess, that I have. We did that several times and kind of passed on the love for that kind of thing to me. And I've not been into it as much as I have in the past, but I've always loved that kind of thing. Well, as time went on, I got to be a teenager and life started coming at me, and I kind of let that go a little bit. Excuse me. But over the years, I've never forgotten about that. And it was some years later, I came across a book. This has actually been I got it right here with me today. This is the best book I've found on the stars. That's all it's called. It's just called The Stars. It's very simple. But it's actually written by a man, an author that you may know by the name of H.A. Ray. Does anybody know another book that H.A. Ray wrote? Well, it'd be a book by the name of Curious George. Amen? And how many remember now that H.A. Ray wrote Curious George? Well, this book is not a kid's book. It's got all kinds of charts and very, very in-depth kind of book. And H.A. Ray was actually a genius. He knew the stars very, very well. And I found this book, though, and I loved it because it was just a very in-depth book. Every now and then, maybe twice a year, I'll pull this book out and I'll look at it. And I look at the stars and the different constellations and the different designs and different things that are going on there up in the star, in the sky. And when I pull this out, I don't necessarily pull it out to be able to remember the time that my dad and I had. But I do that. It does bring back good memories of seeing those stars and seeing those different things in the sky with my dad and I sitting there on the hood of the car. But not only does it remind my earthly father, but it reminds my heavenly father. It reminds me that my father is going to be faithful. My heavenly father, just like the stars are in the same place as they were when he put them there, he is faithful to us today. He's just as faithful. You know, and if we would just trust him, we would trust him the way that we did when we got saved, I believe God would do a great and mighty work with this church. Continue to do a great work. He's doing a great work already, but he would continue that great and mighty work in this church and in your lives.